after a season of record-breaking performances and historic moments. This Bucks team is postseason ready, led by a dynamic group of players who have redefined the game. It's officially Fear the Deer season. Help defend home court and join the best fans in the league at Fiserv Forum for the Bucks playoffs, presented by BMO. Don't miss the chance to experience the intensity and excitement firsthand. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit bucks.com/playoffs. That's bucks.com/playoffs.
You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production on the Bucks Plus Network.
It's another edition of this fantastic podcast, the Here District, the fantastic podcast, because it's a fantastic journey. I'm the captain of this vessel, Marcus Johnson. My son, Chris Johnson. Now, Chris was joking earlier that he is the captain of this vessel. Mr.
No,
Christian.
You know
it reminded me of Mutiny on the Bounty. Captain Bly, Mr. Christian. See, Christian, Chris, Krista. Mutiny
what
on the Bounty,
that?
The good ship Bounty. Clark Gable plays Mr. Christian. They're trying to take over the ship because Captain Bly is just off the hook. It's a great movie.
Well, the only captain I know, the only movie I know is I Am the Captain Now. I don't know what movie that was, but that part, that dude, that pirate, it said, I am the captain now. So that's the only captain reference
that
I really know.
Must MJ. Be like a Johnny Depp, one of those Johnny Depp movies that I don't I don't fancy.
He was good in that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's a legend.
Anyway.
Your weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a Bucks legend. This is Here District with Marcus Johnson, alongside his son and 1995 NCAA champion, Chris. Here's MJ.
It is indeed a fantastic voyage, and it's fantastic because of a lot of things. And one of the things is because of the drama and the mood swings that this Milwaukee Bucks basketball team has put us all through, losing to three of the worst teams in the league. It's funny, Chris. I would say on our open for the broadcast, like, you know, on a given night, any team could beat any other team. That was Tuesday. You lose to the Wizards. On a given night, any team. We had our given night last night. How many given nights in a week can we get? Then we lose to the Grizz at home. Friday, you know, two is the maximum given nights in a week one team can withstand during the course of a season. Another given night, we lose to the Raptors at home.
Yay.
And, so any way you cut it, you know, it's disappointing, right? I mean,
but
can you?
What's the
can
deal?
You, well, look, I kind of compare this to writing. Okay, so you know, I write screenplays and been doing a lot of work in that for the past 20 years. And there's always the arc of the story, right? And so you start off, you create the world that you live in. You go through an inciting incident, something that propels the story forward. The character has another challenge around the midpoint, you know, when Doc is hired and we win six in a row and all seems good in the world, all seems right. But then, Chris, around page 65, about 75 minutes into a movie, each page is worth a minute, you get into the all is lost part. The all is lost when it just seems like you're at the end of your rope and nothing you're doing is working and things look
hopeless.
Hopeless.
Despair.
And that's the dark night of the soul. That comes between 75 and page 85. 75 to 85 minutes into a movie. And how does
where
the character?
Where are we at? Where are we at?
Well, right now, we are in the all is lost segment of the screenplay, of the story, of the hero's journey. Joseph Campbell wrote a great book about the hero's journey. And we're in the belly of the whale. Joseph Campbell talks about that. Remember Jonah? Jonah, you know, he's supposed to go to Nineveh and save the people of Nineveh. He's like, I ain't doing all that. I'm going down to Tarshish and chill out. And he got thrown off the boat. They like, no, you're not. Got tossed off the boat. These fishermen like, hey, something's going on. We got a storm here. Something ain't right. Somebody ain't right. And Jonah's like, it's me. I'm supposed to be over in Nineveh. I'm headed to Tarshish. So they threw him over. Whale swallowed him up. Belly of the whale. That's what we are. We're in that belly of the whale right now. So what does that do? It brings humility, first off. It humbles you. It humbles you. Because all this talk about championships and competing with Boston and all that, we can't get ahead of ourselves. It reminds you to stay in the moment. It's so important.
Yeah.
In life, in this game of basketball to stay in the moment. And so this forces this team to have to take a really good look at themselves. And, you know, Doc Rivers even said it in his post-game press conference after the last loss. He talked about how, you know, this will either, if we get through it, this could be the best thing that has ever happened to us, or it could be the worst thing if we get through it. And that you just have to work your way through it. You can't wish it away. You can't close your eyes and pretend it pretend it never happened. You can't. You know, you got to confront this. What are your shortcomings? Why are you not able to put these bad teams away? Now, against the Wizards and the Grizz, we got Wizzed and Grizzed on back-to-back nights. Wizzed and Grizzed. Now, both teams had over 70 points in the paint. I think the Wizards had 76. We had 36. A 40-point disparity. That's with Giannis. The next night against the Grizz, they had 70. And Jaren Jackson Jr. looked like the MVP with Giannis. That was with Giannis,
but then,
also.
But then last night,
the Raptors, you know, that was without Giannis. And but we had Dame. And Dame was well on his way to a 40-plus point game when we played against the Raptors the other night, and fouled out. You know, he had 35, 10 for 24 from the field, free throws, 12 out of 14. It's just a really solid game. But the one telling stat in that game against the Raptors the other night, Chris, we look at the plus minus on the stat sheet. Every one of our starters was a minus. Chris Middleton, minus 11. Jay Crowder, minus 13. Brooke Lopez, minus 16. Malik Beasley, minus 12. Dame, minus 10. But the bench guys were all in the plus column. So they did their job. Right, Andre Jackson Jr. played great. 3 points, one for two. He was a plus nine. So if nothing else comes from this three-game debacle on this fantastic voyage that the Bucks are going through right now, and it's something that you and I have talked about a lot, is to be able to use these young legs in certain situations to carry you. And that's what teams are doing against us, Chris. It's young legs. They're throwing young legs at us. They're running us up and down the floor. We played against three teams that love to push it, especially the Wizards, and the Raptors are number one in fast break points and transition basketball frequency. So they've taken advantage.
And to combat that, when you're at this point of the season, right, you would think that the younger guys would get a lot more burnt. A.J. Green, 22 minutes. Jackson, 16 minutes. But Connaughton, 33 minutes in the other night. You know, it makes you just wonder, you know, is this going to carry on in the playoffs? Is this something that Doc is trying to, you know, test and see if guys are going to be ready, A.J. and Andre Jackson particularly? Or is this a thing of him trying to get minutes and save guys for the – he already has this rotation, and so he already knows what time it is. And these guys aren't going to factor into anything that he's going to do in the playoffs, but he's trying to keep guys rested and legs, energetic.
Well, and I'll tell you this, and this is just my perception of things, nothing that I've gotten from the inside, but, you know, I just don't know how much Doc trusts Andre Jackson Jr. and his offensive limitations, even though, you know, first 15, 20 games, he was shooting in the 40s from the three-point line. He was actually lighting it up.
Bucket.
You know, and my thing, it's a catch-22 because, you know, he needs minutes on the floor to get more comfortable, and then the less minutes he plays, the more uncomfortable he's going to look when he's got the basketball. Knocked down a big three last night, I think, to get us to within whatever single digits or something. But knocked down a big three against the Raptors to get us to within single digits, so that was a good thing. But I think he showed, and Doc talked about Andre after the game. Andre Jackson Jr., member of UConn's national championship team last year. Danny Hurley said one of the greatest players in the history of, you know, guys that he's ever coached, and a guy that averaged all of what, 9 points, 10 points, you know what I mean, in college.
Wasn't
a leader, a hooper, leader, point guard in high school. You know, very comfortable handling the basketball, but just energy personified. And he got up into Emmanuel quickly and wouldn't allow him to do a lot of the stuff that he was doing all night long. Andre Jackson Jr. cut that off. So hopefully this will be a prelude to good things to come. The Bucks have a really tough week, the last week of the season. You got the Knicks. Mm-hmm. You got Boston. Now, if I'm Boston and Joe Mazzulla, I'm probably not going to play you know, Tatum, Brown, guys. Drew Holiday, right. Porzingis, those guys. Because right. I got the number one seat, you know, hooked up. I don't want a whole lot of, you know, energy and effort put on a Tuesday night game or whatever it is that doesn't really mean a whole lot for them, for Boston. So then you've got you got Orlando, Oklahoma City, Orlando.
That's what I was saying. And now that's what I was worried about. I'm concerned about Orlando, Oklahoma City, like the Orlando in particular in that sixth spot. They're making a push late season. Young squad fits that mold of squads that give the Bucks trouble. What are your thoughts about two games against the Magic in the last week?
Well, I just think this final week starting, you know, on Sunday night with the Knicks. I mean, the whole week is going to be a great test at the end of the season. Just if you can't, I mean, so it's a built-in excuse that I don't really buy into on three consecutive nights. You know, maybe one of the three games you lose to the Wizards or to the, you know, Wizards on the road, or maybe to the Grizzlies at home, because they had Taylor Jenkins and Patrick St. Andrews, two guys that were on the Bucks staff. So they understand Giannis. They understand, you know, the things that have been successful defensively against Giannis. And they did a great job game planning for him. Had one of his poor shooting nights in terms of overall percentages that he's had in a long time. So I'm not shocked by that one, but then to come back to the Raptors and lose the way they did. So I think the way the season ends, if you can't get up for these next four, five opponents, whatever it is, depending on Boston, who they play. But if you can't, even Boston, I don't care who they play. I mean, you know, they got the kid from Oregon, Pritchard out there, and
Peyton Pritchard.
And Hauser, and, you know, that whole crew. You still got to come with it. You know, Xavier Tillman.
Those dudes are tough. PP.
Don't sleep. Yeah, right. And he's had a heck
those
of a
dudes
season.
Are tough.
So this will be, to me, a real good litmus test in terms of mindset. I mean, Giannis should be back. He should be whole again. Dame is back. Chris Middleton, you know, everybody will be there. Everybody will be ready to play. And you got to take it to another level, man, based on what we've seen this past week. So I'm not giving them a pass. Talk about disappointing. You know, it is disappointing. But in the arc of the story, the hero's journey, this fantastic voyage, you know, this is that all is lost moment, dark night of the soul. Experts around the country are saying, look at the Bucks. They lost to the three worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, yeah. they're you know, Doc Rivers.
Oh, they're trashing them. Hey, they're trashing them. They're trashing them.
And deservedly so. We deserve it to be trashed.
It's darkest before dawn. It's darkest before dawn, always remember.
It's the darkest before the dawn. And that's what the dark night of the soul is, looking and reflecting at where you are, having some humility through humiliation, which the Bucks have suffered. And then, you know, setting your minds collectively to doing what you got to do to push forward and finishing this thing up strong. So that's the hopes, and we'll see how that works out. Now,
let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Go ahead, brother.
You go ahead. I wanted to
know just your take on who do you think the Bucks want to see in the first round in the playoffs? Like, you got Philly, you got Miami, and Indiana, basically. It's one of those three. It looks like Philly. But who do you think the Bucks want to see in the first round? Or does it even matter?
Well, you know, I harken back to the championship year, and one of our owners at that time, who has since I think divested himself of ownership in the Bucks, Mark Lazary. He said, because we had lost, I believe, to the Heat the year before in the bubble, so Lazary's like, we want the Heat, you know, we need to redeem ourselves. Now, I'm Marcus Johnson, I'm not Mark Lazary. I don't necessarily want the Heat, because the Heat bring a lot of heat. It wouldn't be a bad matchup. I don't know how much vindication would factor into that based on what happened last year when Giannis got hurt. We lost in five. You know, the Pacers, to me, you know, would be okay, because that's a spirited matchup. And they're feeling themselves. They've been a little bit down. Halliburton, the budding young superstar, as opposed to the wannabe superstar, like I called him during the broadcast. He got all bent out of shape about that. But Halliburton has been down a bit. Siakam, you know. But the point is, I was watching Miami play Philly the other night. Man, Embiid looks good. He got a little tired in the fourth quarter, you know, made some turnovers, missed some shots or whatever, looked moved a little more sluggishly than he did at the start of the game. Right. Had 29 points. Tyrese Maxey had 36, 37. I mean, but they just look, I mean, Kelly Oubre is just doing his little nuisance antics and getting under your skin, but being productive at what he does. I mean, so Philly looks really good right now. So, right. You know, I don't think you can worry so much or concern yourself, let me put it that way, so much about who you play as long as you're playing some of your best basketball. So that's the challenge with this Milwaukee Buck team. The final week of the season, you got to find a way. The coaching staff, Doc says he's taking responsibility for a lot of it. You got to find a way to play your best basketball. And, man, this week, if there was any any reason to do some soul searching, the dark night of the soul, the all is lost moment, this Milwaukee Bucks team is going through it right now, and we will see. These are the times that try men's souls. We will see how much resolve and grit and gut and all that gut check, all the cliches you want to throw out there. This is when you'll see how the Bucks handle all that semi-adversity the final weeks of the season.
Is this a team that plays up to their competition? Like, I read where Middleton had a comment after the game where he said that Bucks need to find ways to get better prepared for these type of teams. That stood out a little bit to me, because is he specifically talking about the Grizzlies and the Raptors and the teams at the bottom that the Bucks may not get up for?
Well, you know,
what are your thoughts on what does it look like to you?
It's been a season of tumult. It's been tumultuous. I mean, everything that's happened, change of coaches in late January, the dissatisfaction with some of the things the old coaching staff was doing. I mean, it's been a long, long year. Some injuries to Chris Middleton, missed a chunk of time. Dame Lillard, his upheaval personally, and all. It's been a really tumultuous year all the way around. So I'm tired. I'm tired. And if I'm tired, I know these guys are tired. And because they've lived it. They've lived it day in, day out. And so put a little credence into that, playing down to the level of your competition. You know, we played Denver and did great against them, blew them out at home, played Minnesota right after the All-Star break, the top teams in the West. The Clippers beat them a couple of times. A little bit of stock in that. But the thing that bothers me, like I said, if you lose one out of these three, I ain't mad at you. Two out of the three, I'm concerned, but not overly. You lose all three, and these teams came in with so much confidence, like Bucks, whatever, and they took it to the Bucks and came out victorious.
You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production.
The Milwaukee Bucks are postseason ready. Don't miss out on the action. Secure your single game tickets for the Bucks playoffs presented by BMO now at bucks.com/playoffs.
Hey, welcome back to the Here District. Marcus Johnson, Chris Johnson, talking just all things NBA, but mainly all things Bucks. And speaking of which, Bobby Portis reached the 7,000 career point milestone. Congratulations, BP.
And, Sweetwater.
Sweetwater, man. I mean, and his game has been really, really nice. That jumper is just rim resistant, nothing but net. Sweet and wet at the same time. That's why I started calling him Sweetwater. And plus, he played Earl Lloyd.
Yes, Bobby P. Sweetwater. Yeah. His impact.
Yes,
his
game, integrating the NBA and all that. And but Bobby played Earl Lloyd in the movie Sweetwater. But Bobby has been Sweetwater for the Bucks. And with Malik Monk being out, with Bogdanovich down in Atlanta, placed into the starting lineup the last 20 games or so since Trae Young has been out. Man, I think Bobby has a chance, Chris, to maybe get that elusive, for him, Sixth Man of the Year award. Your thoughts?
No, he's got a good shot to do it. I mean, he's provided that type of spark. I mean, he's come up big in big games as well. I guess one of the things I like to think about is I'm trying to figure out, like, who do dudes have that are going to match up with Bobby Portis in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Like, what teams actually have a guy that can match Bobby's energy, defend, guard, and then offensively kind of, negate all of what he's doing on the offensive end? Like, when you're thinking about first, second round potential, I'm not sure. I think Bobby's going to be a major X factor for the Bucks. He gives them somebody that is like one of the most unique kind of guys at 6'10 with that type of energy, jumper, inside, outside ability.
6'10", 269 pounds, I believe. I mean,
damn, Bobby, 270?
Yeah, Bobby's.
I was thinking 245, bruh. He moves like he's 240.
I went on the air and said 245, and I said, wait a minute, let me double check that. Maybe he's like 250 or something like that. I think he's a little bigger, and it was like 260 something. I mean, he's up there, man. He's just a big 6'10", strong Arkansas Hall High School, the same school that produced my teammate Hall of Famer Sidney Moncrief. That's Bobby Porter. So he's a match. He's gonna be a matchup nightmare. Thing for Doc Rivers and staff, keep his confidence high. You know, keep encouraging. Doc had a great comment about Bobby being patient in the post. He had a couple of shots against the Raptors on Friday night where he kind of faded away corner early, and Doc is like, the more patient you are, if you're like patient and take your time, that defender's not going to grow within 5 or 6 more seconds. He's going to be the same size. So you take you're going to be the same size
in about 5 seconds.
If you shoot the ball, you know, with 10 seconds on the shot clock as opposed to 17 on the shot clock. He's going to be the same size. He's not going to grow in those 7 seconds. So it was a great observation by the coaching staff, and Bobby's showing a lot more patience. He gets middle over that left shoulder, either running hook like he threw up against the Raptors or banging with that shoulder to create some separation. He's unstoppable. But Pat Beverly, let's talk about Pat real quick. Pat had some injury issues, sat out a couple of games, but I still think he's going to be a big key. He gives us such great energy. Again, that second unit energy was the thing that got the Bucks back into the game against the Raptors, and that's without Pat Beverly. So I really believe, and he had an 18-point game when Dame didn't play, I think against Atlanta, I believe, the game that we won on the road recently. So, you know, he's showing that, you know, he's a guy that you can't pencil in for 18 every night, but on a given night, here we go with that again, on a given night, he's a guy that can hold his own at the offensive end. So that's a good thing.
And so you think that for Doc, the he's more comfortable with playing Pat Bev in the playoffs versus some young legs, a Jackson, because I'm just going to say it, you know, as much energy as Pat Bev brings to the table, as much as he's done, the defensive analytics don't necessarily reflect that the contribution has been there on the defensive end. Now, the energy is there, and it looks great. But when you look at you drill down into the analytics, it's you know, I don't, you know, it's like, who do you play? Well, who do you gamble with there on the floor?
But to your point, the defensive analytics with Andre Jackson Jr. earlier in the season, when I thought he was just doing an incredible job, I mean, you look at his on-off stuff. Yeah, it was nasty. It was like, oh, okay, wow. I mean, you know, Pat Connaughton, a bunch of guys rated higher than him, but. So I go with the eye test. And so, and again, when you got a situation like this, you can't play a guy 30, 35 minutes that you know, I think eventually he's going to become not a liability, but you're just not going to get everything you can out of him unless you play him those 15, 20, 25 minutes max kind of spurts. And I think Pat Bev in those situations is good. So leading to the final point of discussion here for us in this segment, what do you think that the Bucks must improve on? For me, oh man, they got to get their offensive flow back.
When you say offensive flow, I really want you to break this down for me, because like drill down into the sets. Get drill down into the actions that work. Is it the pick and is it the Dame Giannis pick and roll? Is it the Giannis PNR? But you know, you drill down into all that.
Well,
if
it's the Giannis pick and roll, then it's the short roll. Dame is getting doubled or blitzed or whatever you want to call it. Every time they run that pick and roll, and it almost takes him out of rhythm. So he's giving it up early. Giannis short roll by the free throw line. Giannis makes that next pass to the corner. You get something good. So that's available. But just the continuity of the offense. I mean, you start with some action on the left side, and Doc stresses this a lot, but the guys, man, it's something about this generation of ball players, man. And the attention spans, attention to detail. It's almost like you have to reinforce this thing daily. You know what I mean? Because they did a great job for spurts and stretches, and then all of a sudden they go away from it. Now, the last three games that they lost to the losing teams, they went away from it and started pounding the ball too much, going one-on-one ISO too much. And so it's just that kind of movement that's got to keep the defense, especially on the weak side of the floor, the second side, as they like to say nowadays, I mean, you got to get the ball over there. And you, now you got a scramble situation. You got a defender running at you. You can shot fake and penetrate, create an open shot. Out. Dame can get open shots at that, you know, if it's on the right side, at the left break line, 3-point line. You'll get easier shots if you do that. So for me, and to bear that out, when the three games they lost to the losing teams, I mean, the Bucks had a hard time cracking 110 points per 100 possessions. And, you know, in today's game, that would be 30th. An offensive rating. I mean, the way today's game is played. So, offensively, got to find that sweet spot. You know, find that rhythm that the team has shown in spurts but hasn't been able to sustain.
Something I saw on Twitter, on X, whatever. I think Bucks Film Room had posted it. It was a stat about how the Bucks' potential assists number has been like dismal in the last five out of their last six games or whatever, the games that they've lost. So that speaks to the ball move. That speaks to getting the ball to the second side, which gets the defense to rotate. So now you're actually attacking closeouts and opportunities of two-on-ones, which when they don't pass the ball, you're just letting the defense load up. Everything is stagnant. Yeah. It's one shot, probably rebounding, and get it going down the other way. And they haven't been good in transition either. So it just becomes like a avalanche effect.
Well, Rick Pitino, I watched Louisville practice years ago when he was at Louisville. I forgot where it was, maybe Portland. They're playing in a tournament. But he kept saying to his guys back then, he kept saying to his guys when they were scrimmaging and working on stuff offensively, you know, you're either scoring, you're either trying to score or helping your teammate try and score. And that's got to be the mindset. So helping a teammate try to score, that's Brooke giving himself up and diving to the rim at times.
Movement.
Yeah, the movement. It's Bobby Portis coming down as the last man in transition instead of running into the post. Set a drag screen for Dame, and let's get into some movement, some action. And you've got to do things. If you're running the wing, and we had this happen the other night. I think it was Pat Bev or Bobby on the same side, and one of the guys went through, took the defender with him, and then Pat Bev wound up with a wide-open corner jump shot. You got to give yourself up. You got to try and score or help a teammate try and score. So you keep that mindset. Good things will happen for you. All right. I think that's about it in terms of what we wanted to cover here at the Here District. Marcus Johnson, Mr. Christian, Mr. Kriston, trying to mutiny on the Bounty, trying to take over for Captain Bly, Mr. Kriston. But man. Has it not been a fantastic? And even the ups and these late downs that we've experienced, man, this is all part of it. So that's the mystery, you know. If it helps you to improve as a team and get you to that point that you want to get to successfully in the playoffs, it was all worthwhile. All right.
This has been a Bucks Plus audio production.